Morning, everyone. Welcome in the house of the Lord. I'm truly excited about this morning and the message. So amazing that the word Andre brought and the interpretations were so spot on to what I felt the Lord wanted to share with us as a church this morning. So I'm excited about this morning. Last week, Sonika shared about true riches and not to follow or to be faithful to unrighteous mammon, but to really trust God in your finances and in your whole life. And Andre also shared before about being kingdom-minded in our lives and not focus on the material things on earth, but really only focus on the eternity and the kingdom of God. And I just want to honor them this morning. And this is not returning a favor. I didn't expect the introduction we got. I want to honor Andre and Sonika as they're really, for me, the inspiration of living that. Some of you might not know this, but some of you might. And Sonika is the chartered accountant. That's one of the top earning positions in the country. Andre has a master's degree in engineering. He's a qualified engineer. But yet they chose to serve God full-time in ministry, laying down their qualifications, laying down their financial wealth, if you want to call it that. And they could have driven the best cars on the market, could have lived in their perfect house or their dream house, but yet they're renting a townhouse, they're driving a Corsa and a Chico. Nothing wrong with that. But you get the picture. So I just want to honor them and just really say that you can trust the leaders of the church in Andre and Sonika. Their hearts are pure, their hearts are humble, and they're really here to serve God in all their lives. So yeah, a blessing for that. Then two weeks ago, Stephen preached on creating testimonies and trusting God for us in our lives to have testimonies and to testify about what God has done for us in our lives. And it's amazing how the Lord works, because the week before then, I was sitting in church praying for my servant and the word from God, and I just felt the Lord saying that there's so much power in a personal testimony, that someone can testify of God's goodness, so much more than just a word or scripture. Or, you know, it's very easy for me to come and share someone else's testimony, but it's not as powerful as I can come and share my own testimony that God has provided for me. So I want to just give you the definition of testify or testimony, and it is to make a declaration of truth or fact under oath, to make a statement based on personal knowledge, to make it publicly known, and to be a witness. So to be able to testify, you actually have to be there to be a witness in the matter and to make it publicly known. And on this, to touch on Sonika's sermon last week about giving, trusting God for finances, and that giving is actually better than receiving, I can honestly say that I didn't understand that concept until my third year at varsity. And I've shared this before, I think over a year ago. I was the leader of a ministry team from Potchefstroom University that went to Jeffreys Bay every year on an outreach. And we had to collect our own money, generate our own funds to be able to fund the whole 3 weeks in Jeffreys, the food and everything. And the year before, I was a team member, and we really struggled for the 3 weeks there. Financially, we were short. I remember clearly the one night we had toast with sweet corn on for supper. There was no meat. And as a guy, you know, it's hard work to carry around speakers all day, putting up puppet shows for the little ones. And you need your meat. And there wasn't any money or any meat for us. But anyway, God was good. So the next year, when we were the leaders, the girl and myself, we said, we're trusting God for an amazing abundance of finances, and for us to have enough meat for the whole 3 weeks, and just have a nice time in Jeffreys. Because the year before, we would go past the super tube there, and you know, we look at it and wish we can just go for a few slides and stuff, but our leader was quite strict, so he said, no, we're not here for games and stuff, and there's no money to sponsor the team. And anyway, so the next year, we started off the year by praying for funds and getting a team together, and in the first week, we got a donation from one of my friends who had a rugby bursary at Poch, and he gave us R1,000 donation. And we were out of control with happiness and couldn't believe the goodness of God. We haven't even started properly yet, and here we got R1,000 in our bank account, or a check actually. And then another girl that we knew was supposed to pay a deposit for a flight to Thailand for an outreach there, and she needed to pay a flight ticket the next day, and she was short. So the Lord prompted my heart, said, listen, you must give R1,000 to her. And I said, no, Lord, you don't understand. This is like magic, this R1,000. So I spoke to the leader, the girl, and we prayed about it, and we both felt it's the right thing to do. So we got into our car, her car, and drove to the girl, blessed her with R1,000. She was in tears. She could pay her ticket. The very next week, and I promise you it's the truth, the very next week, one of the team members' dad sold a calf. It was worth R4,500, and he gave it just like that to us in R4,500 cash or check again. And it was amazing to see God's goodness a week later, how faithful he was. We just sowed R1,000, we just got our only money, and he gave us back almost five times more the next week. And this is one of many testimonies throughout that journey to Jeffrey's, even in Jeffrey's Bay, when teams came around, musicians who played worship evenings, we blessed him with money the whole time and stuff. And we had a good time. We sponsored a team for Super Tubes. We had lots of meat. And afterwards, the lady who checks out the finances and do a bit of an audit almost fell off a chair, because the year before, we had no money in our bank account after the 3 weeks. And this year, after all the expenses were covered, there was R10,000 left in our bank account. And it was really a miracle from God and his goodness and faithfulness towards our team. And I believe it's also about the team's heart of giving and trusting God in all circumstances. I can testify of his goodness. Another case, and this morning I'll share a few testimonies because I believe it's also in God's heart for us to hear how good he is to us. Another instance, 3 years ago, we had a youth camp for boys, and there were a few boys from a very, very broken background and poor background, and they actually lived in one of these safe houses in a township. And one of them is a very good soccer player. And he showed us his boot and was totally messed up, broken. It's been taped and plastered and couldn't be saved anymore. And I felt I must just bless him with a pair of soccer boots. I went to Sportsman's Warehouse, got it, took it to him, and he was over the moon. And you won't believe it, a week later, some of my friends in PE blessed me with a pair of new golf shoes that's worth three times more than those soccer boots. And I just sat back and thought, Lord, you're just too good to me. And I didn't give this anything away to get something in return. It's not a way to do it. You just give, and you just trust God to bless the people that you bless with those things. And last year, for the show for formal, the Zana I felt we must bless someone with a ticket to the formal. And we did it. And then also, I think within the next week or 10 days after that, I was on my way to Bible school Tuesday night. And on the radio, there was an ad about the Warriors playing a home match here at Buffalo Park, and if someone can win 10 tickets for VIP treatment at the game if they phone in now and sing a clip of the Warrior song, which they played, luckily. So I thought I'd like to go and treat some friends to VIP treatment, so I phoned in, and I was the first to be through. I don't know if everyone else was just too scared to phone. So I won the VIP tickets. I took 10 friends with the really VIP treatment, like sushi in the box there. It was amazing. And even more so, that's not the point. There was a competition in the break between the innings, and you could win money. And they picked me to go onto the field and hit the ball, and must hit a car to win money. And I won R1,000 by hitting two cars. And again, I was just reminded of God's goodness. The week before, we blessed someone with small things, R150 a ticket or something, and through Algoa FM and random things, I got R1,000 the next week. It was just amazing, and it's just really a testimony of God's goodness. I want to encourage you this morning, that is what it's all about in life, to have testimonies from God that he bless us, and we can share it with other people and encourage other people to do the same. So this morning, I'd just like to invite my wife, Lizelle, to come and share a bit of her own testimony as well that you would like to share. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not a public speaker, so for me to stand here is quite huge. As most of you know, I'm an occupational therapist. I worked at Frey Hospital for 3 years, three and a bit years. And last year, I decided to further my studies with the aim of having my own business. It's always been my dream to work for myself, to be flexi. So last year was quite a tough year for those of you that supported me. But when I got to the end of the year, everything happened in Pretoria, so I had to fly from here to Pretoria often throughout the year. And my final exams, I had to do 5 exams in 1 week, and the first exam I did, I knew that there was no way I could have passed it. I felt like I hadn't written enough down on the paper, and I was in Pretoria all alone. I phoned Jimmy and I said to him, I can't even do the rest of the four because I know I've never made this one. And we just prayed for God's supernatural intervention. And I said to Jimmy, if I pass this exam, I promise you I'll stand up in church and testify. And the Lord was so good. I passed all the exams by His grace. And that one exam, just as a demonstration of His power, was my highest mark out of the five. So this year came, and we prayed about it, and we felt it was time for me to start my own thing. And we prayed hard. We felt at the beginning of February that I should resign at the Frey. But this for me was huge at the time. It was 3 months before I was due to get my bonus, my 13th check. I had a medical aid, I had pension, I was secure. I'm quite a control freak. I like to know that I'm going to get a salary next month. But we just felt the peace of God in this decision. So I resigned at the end of February. The beginning of March, I started my own business, and we dedicated the practice to the Lord from the beginning, prayed over all my patients, all the phone calls, referrals that we got, and the Lord just opened doors. I'm renting from a couple in the church here, from Daryl and Chantal, and the Lord has just blown away our minds. There hasn't been 1 month that we've lacked anything. I sat down with my dad, and he said, okay, Lizelle, you need to have X amount of sessions to make this month, to pay your rent, to do this. And the Lord has just blown away our minds. As I said, we haven't lacked anything. I'm so happy in what I do. I'm working my flexi time. And the biggest thing for me has just been, I've really learned to trust the Lord as my provider. Before, I was secure in my salary. I knew I was getting a salary at the end of the month. But now I've really just had to learn to trust Him, because I don't know that I'm going to get referrals 1 month, and I don't know that I'm going to get an income that month. But He's just been so faithful. So I just want to encourage you. Like Sonika said last week, where if you're standing at a crossroad and the one option, you've got peace in your heart that you know it's the will of God, but maybe it doesn't look like the best financial decision in the natural, where mine, I was losing my bonus, I was losing medical aid, I was losing a whole lot of things, but God has just blessed us so abundantly, and yeah, I just want to give Him glory.
Amen. Let's just read the scripture in Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. It says, trust, so the Amplified version, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. It's so powerful. We all here, we believe in the Word, we believe in Scripture, and it's true. And we under the series on creation, we believe that God created us. So all of us here must believe this psalm as well, and believe it's true, that David's speaking here, and it says that God knows the desires of our hearts, and if we delight in Him, you know, He will give it to us. And it's just another, as Lizelle says, it's always been a dream to open our own practice. Maybe she didn't tell a lot of people about it, but it's in her heart, one of her desires, her dreams. And the Lord knew about that. And He opened the doors for her to be able to do that. And He blessed her in that as well. And all of us here maybe have those secret desires in our heart. Maybe it's to meet the right husband or the right wife, find another job, you know, maybe other breakthroughs that you're trusting the Lord for in your heart. And maybe that you don't maybe tell people around you, but it's in your heart. And I want to encourage you this morning that God knows about that. He knows you better than you will ever know yourself, or anyone else will ever know you. So He knows about the secrets and desires, and He wants to give it to you because He loves you. And He wants to take care of you, and He wants to see you happy. So y'all just put your trust in the Lord. And another testimony of a job and doors opening, where I was with a big accounting firm. I'm a forensic accountant. It sounds much more hectic than what it actually is. I just investigate fraud and corruption. And Yeah, I was there for 6 years, and I got very frustrated towards the end of my time there. A lot of government work, a lot of other frustrations. Sometimes I had to travel out of town quite a bit, or go to Joburg even for a month or so at a time. Depends on the work that we've got here. And I was frustrated and unhappy, and literally, I think that y'all can testify about, I was sometimes somewhat negative at home and not keen for work and all of those things. And I remember clearly I spoke to Dion one day in lunch break when we went to chip and putt a bit at the golf course. And he told me that, you know, he got a new job, I think a year or so ago, from another engineering firm, where he actually has less responsibilities and for the same or a little bit more income. And the Lord just blessed him for that, because he was also unhappy in his previous job. And the Lord opened the door for him. And I wasn't worried that the Lord will do the same for me. And I remember being quite jealous about, you know, this. How can it be that he gets a little bit more money but less responsibility? This doesn't make sense in my head. But I said, Lord, you know, I also want that. I also trust you for a breakthrough somehow. I don't know how, because in the Eastern Cape and East London, the forensic market is quite small. You're either with PwC, KPMG, or with the government themselves. And I prayed about it and secretly hoped for an outcome. And by chance, literally, I never checked the Sunday Times for jobs or anything. And the Monday morning, I just checked and I saw one of the banks has a position for a forensic consultant in the Eastern Cape. And that's weird, because all of them have their head office in Johannesburg, where all the forensic people are based, and they work from there. And I thought, this can't be, is it? And I sent my CV in and I started praying about it. And another opportunity from another accounting firm also opened up at that time, and I applied for that too. And in the end, I got offered both opportunities. And I was shocked and at the same time just overwhelmed by God's goodness, that all of a sudden I've got options, because I felt I've got to stay with this one firm probably till I want to retire in 2040 or something. And all of a sudden I had two options. And the beauty of this is, and I want to encourage you to join a small group if you're not in a small group currently. I could share it with my small group and ask them to pray with me for this, and to let God will really lead me to make the right decision as well. And also just to testify in your small groups. Maybe, like Lizelle, you don't like speaking in front of the church to testify, but the small group is ideal for you to go and testify about amongst friends and family there about what God is doing in your life. But back to the story. So they prayed for me for an answer. I spoke to Andre and Sonica about it. We prayed together. Because for me, this is my first job ever. 6 years down the line, I was with them. I felt I have to be loyal to them. And we're all at peace, Lizelle and I and Andre and them, that I must go for the banking industry job, which I did. And I joined them in January. And it's unbelievable how happy I am at my new job. I work from home in my pajamas if I want sometimes. So many small blessings. I don't have to shave every day like before. Got a little bit of an increase in my finances, which actually enabled us to open Lizelle's practice earlier than we thought we could. An amazing thing, I work flexi time, play a bit of golf every now and again on a Wednesday afternoon. I think Dion is a bit jealous of me then. So the Lord's really been good to us. And it's not because I'm special or I'm super holy. It's because God is God. And God loves all of us, and He loves me as well. And He wants to give us the desires of our hearts if we trust Him. Could have easily have said, no, Lord, you know, I'm just going to graft out the time with the previous firm and be negative and... You know, but I told him, this is my desire of my heart. You know, I'm not happy here. Please make a way. And he did, because he's faithful and he loves us so much. And I'm going to read to you in Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, where Jesus himself says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Powerful, awesome scripture where Jesus himself, God, tells us, whatever you ask for in prayer and you believe it, you'll receive it. And I can honestly say today, you've heard my stories now, I've experienced this. From my own experience, I saw the goodness of God. He opened supernatural doors for myself and my job and for Lizelle even. Because we trusted him. We said, Lord, you do it. We can't do it. And he did, because he loves us all. And he wants to make way for us. And you can go and read it at home, maybe. The fig tree story is Jesus' name got to the fig tree and there was no figs on, so they rebuked the fig tree and it just almost disappeared. And Jesus says here, you can do more than that. You will tell a mountain to move and it will be moved. And the mountains in our lives could be anything. Maybe you're sitting in today in a job that you're so frustrated and tired of that you can't even think of tomorrow going back to that job. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're frustrated, you're unhappy, and it feels like a mountain on your shoulders. And Jesus here says, you can tell that mountain to move, and it will move, if you have faith in Him. That's the secret. Just to have faith in God, we can move mountains. Physically, maybe not always, because you don't see mountains being moved around, but in you. So yeah, in our own lives, the mountains we face every day, God wants us to move those mountains in faith in Him, not in ourselves. Because in ourselves, we can try and move those mountains, but it's not going to succeed. And we're going to bump our head time and time again. But with God and with the faith in God, we can move those mountains if we rely on Him. It wasn't easy for me to just change jobs, I must be honest. There were the mountains in my own decision of security. I knew the ins and outs of the company where I was at the moment. I had friends in the company. I knew I could do the job in that company. I wasn't sure about the banking industry. Would I have the ability to do the work there? Will I be happy there? Will I not be happy? But I trusted God. And I said, Lord, if you open this door and you give me this job and we've got peace, I'll take it. And I've never once this year missed my previous job. I've never looked back and thought I made the wrong decision. Praise God. And He rewarded me for my faith, I believe. And also for Lizelle, you know, with her practice, it was a massive thing for us to just say, let's go for it. You know, you can resign, and we'll just trust the Lord for income. And you've heard the story. The Lord just comes through for us month after month, and we can just praise Him for that as well. So trusting God and putting faith in Him, it's all synonyms for me. The trust is faith, and it is belief. If you don't trust in something or someone, you can't have faith in that person or the thing. And also you won't believe in that. But if you put your trust in God, and you really believe, and you put your faith in Him, that's when things start to happen. And it's only then when we can tell the mountain to move and get out of our way, because we've got a good and a big God and on our side. But those things go together. You can't say you trust in God. You sit there and you say, yeah, I trust in God. He created us. But you walk out and you don't have faith in God. It must go together. You know, if you trust in someone or something, put your faith in God and believe in Him, because He wants to be good to us. If you think of a little boy, his father who throws him up in the air and he catches him, and you know, they love it. They laugh and they have fun, and because they trust their dad. They know, as small as they are, that his father or the person throwing him up won't drop him. I don't think I've ever seen a toddler being thrown up and bursting into tears and being all worried, maybe when it's a complete stranger, yes. But if his own father or a friend or a family member playing with him, throwing him up and down, they actually want more. So I would advise you not to do it, because your arms get quite tired after a while and they just want more and more and more. And that is just that I believe that God wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him, where we just trust Him completely and know that He will catch us and He will make way for us in every situation in our lives. The father-son relationship, that is what God's heart is all about. He wants us to put Him in control. Someone said this morning, you know, God wants to be in control of our lives. So it's for us to decide to put Him in control. Let Him throw us up in the air and trust Him that He will catch us, because He loves you. Excuse me. And this kind of trust relationship that's there, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's just not something that just magically popped up. You know, it takes time from us spending time with someone. And this instant, spending time with God to build this trust relationship, to get to know Him, to see His heart, to know that God is good and He wants us to be happy, He wants us to be blessed. And that's why this morning the testimonies we're sharing here is because I've seen it in my own life. I know God is good. I know He wants to bless us. I know He wants to give us the desires of our hearts, because He loves us. And all of us sitting here this morning are the same. We are the same None of us are more special to him than the other one. He wants to give you the desires of your heart too. Because I aren't special, more special than anyone here this morning. We're not more holy than anyone here this morning. God loves us the same. And Jesus died on the cross for all of us so we can trust him for these things. And that's why we need to build a relationship with him. Like a father and his son builds a trust relationship by spending time building the relationship, sharing our hearts with him. Share your heart with God. Tell him what your desires are, even though he knows it. Share with him. Talk to him. He's your father. He's our daddy. Speak to him about the desires, the mountains in your life that need to be moved. Pray to him. Ask him. Make it known to him. And build that trust relationship so you can also testify in your small group of what God has done for you in the next few weeks or months. Because he really wants to bless us and have us putting our trust in him. However, Satan does not want us to do that. He wants us to have obstacles in the way. He wants to put the mountains in our way to block us from God and to block our faith. And those obstacles, the two big ones that I want to share about this morning, is fear and doubt. Now, the two again go together. Fear leads to doubt, and doubt leads to fear. Think about that. If you doubt something, you're probably going to be scared to do it because there's doubt. And if you're somewhere, and I can just picture myself on a bungee jump, thinking I'll never do it, stand there being fearful and scared, and I'll doubt. I won't do it. I know I won't. So the two go together. So if you have doubt in your life about anything, it will probably lead to fear. If you have fear in your life about anything, maybe security, financial income, if you have fear of losing that, you will have doubt. And then faith and trust can't operate in the same time. So we need to actually get the obstacles of fear and doubt out of the way and say, Lord, yes, we're going to lose the salary this month, or we're going to lose the financial security that we had, but Lord, you are big God, you are our provider, and we trust you to come through for us in any situation. And then Satan can't operate because we've took the power that God gave us on ourselves and we took authority over the situation and we cast the doubt and the fear out, and now we can operate in faith and trust. Max Lucado writes in his book, Fearless, oversized and rude, fear is unwilling to share the heart with happiness. Happiness complies and leaves. Do you ever see the two together? Fear will make your life miserable. It will cast out the happiness, the joy, the peace, all of those things, and will take grip of your heart completely, and it will actually run your whole life. Maybe some of us here can testify about that, having a fearful life. You are scared of everything and anything in your life, and you're unhappy about that. I've never seen someone laughing and saying, I'm so scared now, I'm so scared. It doesn't happen. You're unhappy when you're scared. The joy of the Lord is stolen. It's out of your life because you are scared. And the enemy, Satan, laughs at us when we get fearful and scared because the faith and the trust in God is just out of the way immediately. And like he says there, you can't be happy and scared at the same time. God wants us to be happy. Therefore, we need to get rid of the fear and the obstacle and trust in God. Let's just look at what happened with Peter. Stephen also touched on it 2 weeks ago. Matthew 14, verse 29 to 31. Come, it's now Jesus saying, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Let's just stop there for now. So what happened here? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me and I'll walk to you on water. And if you read the verses before 29, then Jesus says, come. So Jesus replied to Peter after Peter said, Lord, if it's you, because the Lord said, it's me, don't be fearful, it's Jesus. And then Peter still said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and I will walk to you on water. And the revelation I got lately is that Peter waited until Jesus said, come. So then Peter was just reassured in his heart, it was Jesus talking to him. And only then, after he heard Jesus say, come, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. So for us, sometimes in situations, when we pray for a breakthrough, when we pray for a new job, when we pray for something we want, sometimes we get impatient and we just want to jump out of the boat and run. But sometimes we have to wait for God to say, listen, come or go. This is the right time now. Not your timing, my timing. And it's just a crucial thing for us to remember when you pray for something, to just trust the Lord and wait on Him sometimes for an answer, for Him to say, listen, now is the right time. Step out the boat and come. But then Peter, when he saw the wind, and what that means to me is he must have looked around or he must have seen the wind and the waves. And after that, he doubted and he got scared and he sank. So he took his eyes off of Jesus for that second and he saw the wind. And that's what happened here. The fear only could take hold of his heart after he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the conditions around him and he saw the wind. And for us, it's very easy to only see the wind sometimes and say, listen, it's too much of a step of faith, this. I can't do this. Lord, I'm going to stick to what I know and I'm going to stay in this unhappy situation. And you let fear control you. Instead of keeping your eyes on Jesus, He said you can do it. After He said, come, you keep the trust in God and you get off the boat and you walk. And you will not sink if you keep your eyes on Jesus. But Peter didn't. But there's a second part. Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. You of little faith, He said, why did you doubt? So Jesus used the word doubt. When we read the previous verse, that Peter was afraid. So again, the fear that got Peter made him start to doubt. And the doubt caused him to sink. And Jesus recognized and identified it and said, you doubted. Once he doubted, he got fearful and he didn't make it. But we've got a good God, a gracious God, a God who loves us. And immediately it says, Jesus didn't look at him and say, sink, go, look at him. He said, immediately, Jesus gave his hand, saved Peter, got him up, and said, you have little faith. Maybe even giggled at him, I don't know. And that's the God we serve. He wants us to prosper, He wants us to be happy in life. And when we make mistakes, when we maybe don't hear his voice and we do something out of our own will, He's gracious. Gracious enough to save us from that wrong decision maybe, or the step we took out of disobedience or whatever it was, impatience. He's faithful to save us time and time again. So listen, I'll pick you up. I'll save you again. Don't worry. We'll start again. And that's just the character of God. His love, His grace, He's compassionate about His children. And we can really trust Him for that. I want to share the last testimony where I really saw God's grace and His forgiveness and love. My parents live in a small town in the Northern Cape there by Upington. It's called Groblershoop. But let's call it Upington for now. And they've been living there for many years. I think before I was born, so it's about 30 years now, 29 years now. And about 3-4 years ago, my dad saw an advert in the paper for a new job in the Free State. He's in the meat industry, butcheries, and those kind of things. And he saw an ad in the paper in the Free State for a new job, almost double his salary, because financially they are a bit tight at the moment back then. And saw the opportunity to go to the Free State, start a new job, and earn more money for his retirement. It's not too far away. So he started praying about it. Went for the interview. He got the job. The guy promised him a lot of things. The guy, actually the owner of the business, paid for the moving of my mom and them's furniture to the Free State. And everything seemed to be well. I thought, Lord, praise your name, because financially a breakthrough. I've been praying for many years for them. And it was also, from the 900 kilometers that it was only now about 400 or 500 kilometers from here. So we went to visit them a few times in the Wetsdorp. And I thought, oh, it's amazing. But then 4 months down the line, out of the blue, the owner just fired my dad without notice, without warning, without anything. It's obviously against the labor law. He fired my dad, and there's my dad and them, and my Oma and my sister, in the Free State without a job, without an income, nowhere to go. His previous position was filled 4 months ago when he left. And where to from here? And it was a tough time, because in that time, we were busy planning our wedding. It was around the corner. And there was no jobs in the vet store for my dad there. So they moved from there to here, to us at least, and to be in the same town. And they, one of my friends, luckily they got a flat. So my mom, sister, grandma, and dad, 4 of them, stayed in one room, not very big, for a couple of months, because of nowhere else to go. We couldn't support them financially to rent a place for them, properties, and you know the prices in East London are high. And it was a tough time. My dad was without, my family was without income. We just got married. You know, I remember, you know, on our honeymoon, I was still worried about my dad and him praying for jobs. And he got 1 or 2 years, but it was just not enough to survive. And we prayed. He said, Lord, please, we need you in this situation. To see my family suffering, it breaks my heart. And it can't be of you, Lord. It can't be your will for them to suffer like this. But in the meantime, their house in Groblersweep, up in Northern Cape, was for sale. And a few people came to look at it, and it never went through the bank, never approved the loan for the house. And we kept on praying, and it was so encouraging for me. My father and mother never moaned or complained. They prayed. They said, the Lord will make a way. They put their trust in God. But sometimes I then doubted, said, yo, how will things work out for me? I can't see it happening. And they just said, the Lord will make a way. He will provide. And my dad got offered another job in his previous company back in Upington, which he then took, and they moved back there about 3 years ago. And it's been going much better with them financially. They're much happier back in town. And that's why I realized afterwards the house never got sold because they were meant to move back there 3 years down the line. And the point I'm going to try and just bring across here, Jesus saved them. Maybe, I don't know, maybe my dad did not hear from God at the right time, or maybe it wasn't the right time for them to move to the Free State back then for the increase, because it put them through a lot of stress financially, all of us actually, but the Lord came through for them. He gave them back a new position in the Northern Cape. They moved back there, they're happy, and above all, about two or three weeks ago, after 3 years of battling, my dad won his CCMA case about the whole firing incident, and he got paid out the money that was due to him back then already. And that helped him a lot financially too. And that's just God. And I was just blessed again to see how God operated in the whole thing. Looking back from the start, the stressful time we went through, going through our wedding time, and supposed to be a happy and exciting time, but we had a bit of worry about this issue. But yet the God came through. He's a good God. He's a loving God. And in the first 3 months of our marriage, my dad got offered a job. My mom and I moved back. And glory to God for that as well. He always comes through for us. Sometimes we just have to wait on him. Then also, just want to quickly end off by what God is saying about fear and the obstacles, specifically fear first. He says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it's a well-known verse, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So God did not give us a spirit of fear. We've got to believe it. It's in the Word of God. So when we feel fearful, and when we go through situations and we feel that fear is gripping us too much, we can't operate in faith. Know that it's not from God. God gave us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, not fear. So once you experience the doubt starting in your mind or the fear, you've got to rebuke it in Jesus' name and say, Lord, the Lord did not give me a spirit of fear. This spirit must be from Satan. So I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I claim the spirit of power and love and self-discipline which God did give me. It's important because we all have those situations that we face daily of fear situations or doubt. And we've got to take authority over the situation and over the fear and the doubt and say, leave in Jesus' name, like the mountain, to move. Secondly, we look at doubt. James 1, verse 6 to 8. But when he asks, he must not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. It's quite hectic, quite hard word that is written here. It says, he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, just tossed backwards and forth, not knowing where it's going. It's a double-minded man, unstable in what he does. He will not receive what he asks for because he's doubting. And like I said earlier, doubt and faith is opposite. You can't say, I believe I'm going to do it, but then I've already got a plan B and a plan C and a plan D in place, because what if it doesn't happen and I'm doubting the situation? When you start doubting, you know, it just takes over your mind, fear creeps in, and it's just chaos from there. So we've got to take authority over doubt and fear in our lives, in all situations, and trust God to make a way for us, because he will, if we put our trust in him. Just to end off the last scripture, I don't want to end off with doubt. Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. And it's also, Sonika also touched on it last week. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. God is in control, people. We just need to put our trust in him, put our faith in him. He knows the best for our lives. He knows the plans he's got for our lives. We just have to put him in control, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to us. So we mustn't get caught up in the worldly things around us, the income, the food, the salary, the groceries, whatever. Trust God to make a way, to be your provider, and to rescue you from the situation you might be finding yourself in today, with a frustrating job or a relationship or whatever it might be. Put your trust in him, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will come through for us.